Before I hand over to Jot, and I know we're running very late, there's something that I wanted to bring your attention to. In our readings today, we were reading from Acts chapter 7. And Acts chapter 7, verse 43, speaks of the star of the god of Rephaim. And does anyone know what that star is? It is. It's the Star of David. They are still worshipping the star of their god, Rephaim. So I just thought I'd say that before we passed on to Jot. So Jot, when you're ready, please.
Right. Shabbat Shalom. Please be patient with me. It's been a few years since I've done a presentation, so I will do my best not to stutter and all that sort of stuff. Okay, my if you want to bring up the first slide. My ministry is that of the prophetic nature. So I'm just going to go a bit of an introduction first, just for those that don't know me, and those that are online that have never met me, and some new people in the room. Prophecy by its very nature is open for interpretation. So everything I say today, you may interpret slightly differently. That's the nature of the word and nature of prophecy. So just be open to a different, maybe a different interpretation on what you may have read or heard from other people. For those who don't know me, I'll just summarize my background a little bit. I was born of heathen parents who did not know Yah. They were lovely people, but they weren't in covenant. In my early adult years, someone said to me, "Find the meaning of life." That very idea has driven me throughout my life in the search and the pursuit for the answer. I searched high and low for that question. I journeyed through many different religions, looking at different every opinion, and I came to the realization that in order to find truth and the meaning of life, you need to be looking at both sides of everyone's opinion, and in the middle somewhere is the truth. Using this theory, I studied my way through the many religions, then came across the idea of evolution and creation. This was before I was in covenant on a new Yah. I was just studying things for my own knowledge. It became exceedingly obvious that evolution at its very core was deception and utter nonsense, as most people in this room will testify to. It's at this time when Yah spoke to me in the visions of the night and told me to read the Bible. I didn't get introduced to him by a person, he just said read the Bible. For me, this seemed a strange idea because my understanding of people at that time who read the Bible was that of hypocrites that were doing and not saying and not doing. As I studied the Bible, I came to realize that, you know what? My initial idea was right. Most of those people I knew that professed to know the Bible were in fact hypocrites. They were saying and not doing. This brings me to my first scripture, Isaiah 29:13. If you want to bring that up, please, Martha. Yehovah said, "These people draw near me with my mouth and honor me with my lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me but the rules taught by men." Okay, next slide. Next slide, Malachi. Okay. For a few years now, it's been on my heart to present before Yah's people. I've been waiting for quite a while to come to this calling and for him to show me what he wants to show in the world. Just before lockdown, I was discussing with my wife how Yah had been putting it on my heart to do a teaching before his people and to step out in faith. As with all his callings, I prayed to see what his guidance was, to confirm that he was really giving me that word. Then the very next week, Tamar called us all out to work in our giftings. I've known for a long time that this has been my ministry. The very thought terrifies me. So I proceed with caution. Next question. Next slide, please, Malachi. Yah's word has the meaning of life and answers to everyday questions. Previous slide. Yep. Some commonly asked questions and some quite difficult ones as well. So what came first, chicken or the egg? Well, the answer is very easy. Yah created the rooster and the hen, and then the chicken and the egg came. The second one, is the glass half empty or half full? Well, it's simply half a glass. Either of other answers is simply your opinion. The third question, with a tree in the forest, without two witnesses to testify to it, again, it's just your opinion. This is the things we learn from Torah. The fourth question, what is deception? How do you know if you're being deceived? The very nature of deception is that you don't know that you're being deceived. This is why we come every week and we study Torah, because Yah does not lie. And what is the meaning of life? It's to be in covenant with Yah and keep His commandments. All else is vanity and vexation of spirit. There is only one meaning in Yah's word for truth and thus life, and that comes from Psalms 119, 153 to 160. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your Torah. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Yehovah. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not decline from your testimonies. I behold the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Quicken me, O Yehovah, according to your loving kindness. Your word is truth from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Now this brings me to the Torah portion. Now originally I prepared this presentation, as you saw on the notes, from 2 weeks ago and before lockdown. So it was actually prepared for the Ekev portion. So a lot of my scriptures come from that. But in listening to the Torah this week, as Yah does, He's put many links within the Torah that actually come back to my message today. Within Deuteronomy 16:20 through to 19:8, it covers the same topic. So does Isaiah 51:16 and 52:1-8. But I won't be going there today because I don't have it on the PowerPoint and have time to change it. But I will start with James 5:10. My brothers, as an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in Yahweh's name. It's also written in Jeremiah 44:4-5. Yet I sent you all my servants the prophets again and again, saying, do not do this detestable thing that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ears. The ministry of prophecy and that of a prophet is one of rejection and persecution, not from the world, but from his people. From the beginning, Yah progressively revealed his, through his servants the prophets, his word. From Abel through to Yeshua, all of them suffered persecution for the word of Yah that was instructed to them. None of them ever changed or contradicted the Torah. They only ever expanded on the precepts and concepts that Yah had established from the foundation of the world. The job of a prophetic ministry is not to tell the people what they want to hear or to lift them up with smooth words. That job is for a teaching ministry. The job of a prophetic ministry is to tell you things that you can't see, that you might not understand, and difficult words and parabolic meanings. Isaiah also touches on this in Isaiah 30, verses 9 to 13. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the Torah of Yahweh, which say to the seers, seer not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of my way, turn aside from my path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us. Therefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, and say therein, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out of the high wall, and whose breach cometh suddenly in an instant. It is the job of a prophetic ministry to reveal to his people the hidden, mysterious things of his word. I'm not here to teach you mitzvot or to counsel you in the affairs of life. This idea comes from Deuteronomy 29:29. Next slide. The secret things belong to Yehovah our Elohim, but the things revealed to belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all his words, all the words of his Torah. This is also supported by Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me, and I shall answer you, and shall show you great and unknown things which you did not know. Which you have not seen. It is also vital to understand that within the Torah and the prophets is everything from the beginning, the present, and the future. It's all written within there in cryptic words. It's written in Amos 3:7. Surely Yehovah, your Elohim, will do nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets, first. The difficult part is translating the cryptic words of the prophets into modern vernacular. This is the duty of a prophetic ministry. I will do my best to unpack some of these cryptic puzzles so you can maybe see a different view of the words that have been prophesied and you've read dozens of times. I know myself that often I've read scriptures on one day, then the very next I'll open it up and it says something completely different. The ministry of prophecy requires a certain disconnection from emotional aspects of life. My wife can testify to my lack of emotion towards the comings and goings of day-to-day life. I really do feel for her. She gets a tough ride. Yet she still soldiers on. And does the best she can. Often to no avail, trying to temper my approach with people. So I'll attempt to reveal what Yah has shown to me from the Torah and the prophets. I'm going to be doing a little here and a little there as it appears, and it'll appear just like things don't match up. But then in the end, you'll see the picture becomes clearer. Prophecy often jumps from one subject to another mid-verse. It's only by lining up multiple prophecies together that the picture becomes more clear. Isaiah 28:10 says that in, for precept must be from precept, word upon word, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Prophecy also has multiple different aspects. Quite often it definitely has a spiritual and physical component. You can have physical alignments of prophecy and then the spiritual one doesn't fulfill, and you can have vice versa as well. Yeshua tells us in John 4:23 to 24, but a time is coming and it now has now come that the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as these to worship him. Elohim is spirit, and the worshippers must worship him in spirit and truth. Truth is the literal meaning of the word, and spirit is the intention behind it in the first place. For example, an often not spoken prophecy about Yeshua is taught to us in Isaiah 41:21. Yehovah was pleased for his righteousness to magnify the Torah and make it glorious. It was Yeshua's role to lift Torah to a new level. Under his direction, all you have to do is look at a woman with lust and you've committed adultery. Get angry with someone without curls? Murder. Talk about raising the bar for obedience. Now that I've covered my introduction to prophecy, I'd just like to start with a prayer. Yehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He rests my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall feel no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff that comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yehovah forever. Your word, Yehovah, is full of light, yet studying of prophecy can lead people into darkness. Time and time again, false teachers have come and led your people astray like shepherds leading the sheep astray. So many denominations have been formed by teachers interpreting prophecy and leading people away from your people, the Hebrews. Please keep me in the light and away from the darkness. And may my words only be from you, and if it's not from you, may it fall on deaf ears and not be heard. In Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. So, my next scripture, I'd just like to go into something from this week's Torah portion about inheritance. Our inheritance is the land in Israel. That's where we belong. That's what we should be seeking towards. And my teaching today is going to be on that. Jeremiah 16:19 speaks directly to the time we are living in now. I just want to go over this because I added this because it's very relevant to us as people and the movement happening at this point in time. O Yehovah, my strength and my fortress, and my refuge in my day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies and vanity and things which wherein there is no profit. For the last two decades or so, there has been an exponential increase in people coming to Yah's word and his Torah. All around the world, they're working out of mainstream churches and into Yah and his Torah. Once we've realized that we've inherited lies, we come back to him with a heavy heart, weeping and with supplication, seeking our Yehovah and his Torah. This was prophesied by Jeremiah again in Jeremiah 50:4-6. In these days and at that time, declares Yehovah, the children of Israel shall come, they and their children of Yehuda together, weeping as they come, and seek Yehovah their Elohim. They shall ask the way of Zion, their faces towards it. Come, let us join ourselves to Yehovah in an everlasting covenant, never to be forgotten. My people have been wandering sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away from the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Now, my teaching today is on the reference from two of these scriptures. One is on Zion, and the other one is the place of rest. Over the last 2,000 odd years, the shepherds of Yah's people have been leading them astray down a path that leads them away from his loving instructions, the Torah. Ezekiel 34:3 speaks to this. Son of man, prophesy to the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and tell them that this is what Yehovah Elohim says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed their flock? This is speaking to the time that we live in now, when the pastors and the shepherds, as you like, will be focused on their own gains and not on the health of Yah's flock. Both Christian pastors and Jewish rabbis have been guilty of the same transgression. In general, Christians have been taking away from the word, and the Jews have been adding to it. The psalmist sums this up perfectly in Psalm 19:7. The Torah of Yehovah is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of Yehovah are trustworthy, making wise the simple. What is Zion? We heard this in the scriptures today, in the Torah portion. And I think it's typical of Yah to... Although my Torah portion was not directly related to this portion, my presentation, sorry. He layers it always in everything. And the message that I'm presenting today, you'll find layered through all of the prophets. So what is Zion that we seek? Next slide, please. Psalm 48:2, beautiful in loftiness, the joy of all the earth. Like the peaks of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. And Micah 4:2-4. And many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yehovah, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we will walk in his paths. For the Torah will go forth from Zion, and the word of Yehovah from Jerusalem. Then he will judge many between many peoples, and arbitrate for strong nations far and wide. Then they will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer lift up sword against nation, nor will they train any more for war. Each man will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one will with no one to frighten him. For the mouth of Yehovah of hosts has spoken. The physical Zion is a city of the great king, or in other words, the city of David during the millennial reign of Yeshua HaMashiach. So we must seek the kingdom and that city that will pour forth the Torah into the whole earth. Zion is not the Zionist state of Israel in the Middle East. It is the city of the great king and will be established during the reign of Yeshua. All nations will come to Zion to seek the Torah during this millennial reign, and the light of that city and that nation will be shining so bright and the blessings be so abundant that they won't be able to help but be drawn to it. Spiritually, we need to seek Zion within our hearts, or the city of Yeshua in our hearts. And that is why we come here each week to listen, to learn, or you log in online. You are drawn to the Torah because it is calling to you. The eternal life of the Torah is in your blood, for life is in the blood. Just something that the Spirit is saying to me. You know, Tamar says every week, you know, the 12 tribes. We don't know who they are, but it's in your blood. And that's why you're here, because it calls to you every week to come and learn His Torah. So what is the resting place that Jeremiah was talking about? Next slide. Psalms number for this resting place is 7258. It refers specifically to the place where flocks dwell in safety. In Isaiah 65:10, Sharon will become a pasture for flocks, and the Valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. The Valley of Achor is in the Holy Land, and thus we should be seeking a return to our spiritual home. I'm sure you're all familiar with the chapter from John 10, 27 to 28. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them from out of my hand. Yeshua identifies you, me, those of you that are online, and anyone who hears His words as His sheep, as long as you continue to follow Him. Follow Him, emulate Him. It was Paul who said, emulate me even as I emulate Messiah. In Yeshua we have spiritual rest from the world. It's written in John 33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have shalom. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Yeshua outlines that our work in life, until He returns for the kingdom, will be in tribulation, physically. But spiritually we have rest. When the physical kingdom comes, we will have our physical rest. We won't be slaves to this world anymore. Next slide. It should be abundantly clear that our place of rest is the land of promise, Yah's land, the land of milk and honey, the inheritance of the seed of Abraham. The real estate in the Middle East does not belong to anyone but Yehovah. His people only have the right to live there when they're living in obedience to Torah. If they do not live in obedience to Torah, then the land will vomit them out. In Galatians 3:28-29, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for all are one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you belong to Messiah, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This spells out your inheritance loud and clear. You are all heirs to the land of milk and honey, Yah's land, and we will return back there. Now, how do we get there? Prophecy tells us that. Just about every prophet speaks to some extent as an event referred to by some as the Greater Exodus. Next slide. The idea for the second Exodus comes from Jeremiah 16:4. Therefore, behold, the days come, declares Yehovah, that they shall no more say, Yehovah lives, who brought up the children from the land of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Yehovah lives, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Yeshua says that all the prophets and the Torah must be fulfilled before the end. We still speak of the Exodus of Moses, yet Yah is telling us right here that there will be a day when we speak of a greater Exodus, not of the one of Moses. An Exodus from all the nations where Yah has scattered his people. This has not happened yet, and thus must be fulfilled before the end can come. Isaiah sheds a little more light on the subject. In Isaiah 11:10-15. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand as an ensign for the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yehovah shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which have been left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall establish the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersion of Jehuda from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversary of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them from the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And Yehovah shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty hand shall shake his hand over the rivers, and shall smite them in the seven streams, and men shall go over dry shod. This scripture seems to indicate that we'll either go under or over the oceans. Just think, in order for us no longer to speak of the Exodus of Moses, it must be a truly miraculous event. We have not seen Yah operate in the creation at this level of signs and wonders since the time of Yeshua. Well, not that we have on record anyway. Yeshua is the root of Jesse that the Gentiles seek, and there shall be a second time that he gathers us. Again, in Jeremiah 33, behold, the days are coming, declares Yehovah, when I will restore from captivity my people Israel and Yehuda, declares Yehovah. I will restore them to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they will possess it. Yah states unequivocally that he is the one that will restore us to his land in his perfect timing. So to finish, I'll move to Jeremiah 50:33-34. This prophecy hints towards the oppression that will come, and for my part is now upon us, increasing day by day. This is what Yehovah of hosts says, the sons of Israel are oppressed, and the sons of Judah as well. All their captors hold them fast, refusing to release them. Their Redeemer is strong. Yehovah of hosts is his name. He will fervently plead their case, so that he may bring rest to the land, but turmoil to those living in Babylon. In his bringing us out into our rest in the land, he will, as he did in Egypt the first time, pour out his indignation. This time it falls upon Babylon. We right now are living in Babylon, under the oppression of the governments of this world. But brothers and sisters, have no fear. Yehovah, through Yeshua HaMashiach, has overcome the world. We all know how this story ends. It's our roles as servants of the Most High to continue to obey his mitzvot, right rulings and commandments. The time is coming and is close at hand that our Redeemer will come, deliver us out of this mess that is Babylon, present day Babylon. Pray without ceasing for a return to the land of our forefathers, the land of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, for that's your inheritance. May Yah be with you in the days that lie between us and the promised kingdom. Can I get an amen? Any questions? No? I'll hand over to Tamar for the liturgy.
Thanks, Jot. That's not easy during your first drash and making yourself vulnerable like that, so we appreciate that. So I'll now move on to the remembrance service. Except that my computer seems to have frozen.